This week's episode of Radio Labyrinth is produced by Andrew Hopkins, Jonathan Wilson, Sean Hall, Mike Spittler, Wendy Muller, and Dennis Davis.
Two Faces Radio.
One of the programs which you hear daily on many of these mutual stations begins like this.
It's time for Radio Labyrinth. Tim Andrews, Jeff Leboff, Stephanie Swain, Autumn Fisher, and sometimes effing Ira Malcolm.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to episode 130 of Radio Labyrinth. We've done 100, well, we will have done 130 of these by the end of this podcast. And thank you very much for listening. Tonight, it's just me and Jeff Leboff.
Howdy.
We are recording at our famous studio, hidden in the wall.
Infamous.
Infamous studio. Where a lot of people have recorded wonderful, wonderful podcasts over the last 450 years. So Steph is off tonight, and Autumn is off. And next week, we'll do the housekeeping first. Next week, when we record the show, Ira will be back. Am I right in assuming?
Yeah, he's back now, but he couldn't come tonight.
Well, that's good. We have a full house. Yeah. Fucking Ira. He'll be back, and we're going to do an ice cream battle royale between Steph's Magnums and Jeff's Haagen-Dazs. So I think it should be flipped around. Jeff, aren't you the one that needs the Magnums?
Well, yeah, I can't eat the regular ice creams. They're way too small.
Yeah, and I'll be bringing my little mini pops. On the 4th of July, that week, we will not be doing a show. I'll put together a little like a montage show of clips and stuff, and you'll all will enjoy it. The following week, we have Lisa Jaszczek, and I'm going to have to learn how to pronounce that properly. She is a professor in the School of Literature, Media, and Communication at Georgia Tech, and if you watched the James Cameron docuseries, The History of Sci-Fi on A&E,
or it was AMC.
AMC. You saw her on that. She'll be joining us to talk about all things science fiction and movies and all sorts of cool stuff like that. And then coming up toward the end of July, on the 22nd, we'll be doing our live show where you can join us at Atlanta Pizza and Euro at 5 p.m. if you are a patron. And we'll get into that later. We'll tell you how you can become a patron if you're not. You get in an hour early and meet and greet with us and chat and have fun, and we'll record that. And guess what? Patrons will get that show. How about that? Then at 6 o'clock, we'll open the doors to everyone. It'll be a live podcast recording, and they will have a full menu available for purchase as well as beer and wine. And then looking forward to August, we got to get Dan Carroll in here to preview Dragon Con 2018. But joining us tonight, we have two gentlemen from the Atlanta area, Mr. Brian Silverbacks.
Hey, what's going on, man?
How are you?
Happy to be here, dude.
And Kate, we're happy to have you. And Caleb Harden.
Hey, guys.
Hey. I can't see, but that's okay. Can't see him over there. Brian is a former U.S. Army paratrooper and law enforcement officer that has changed his focus to being a comic book artist. So I'm going to assume that throughout your entire life, you've always been an artist.
Well, in high school, I graduated in the mid-90s, and that was right at the boom of comic books. Mm-hmm. So I was all about the Todd McFarlane Spawn and Spider-Man and all that.
Yep.
And I thought I was good, so I was focusing on that, and this is pre-internet.
Yes.
So I didn't have the depth to realize that I wasn't as good as I thought I was. So when I graduated high school, I was like, oh, I can't go to art school. Don't have any money. Didn't get a job at Marvel. Got my rejection letter in the mail. Let's go sign up to the Army because my bills will be paid for and room and board will be paid for. So let's go do that for a little while.
So what year was that when you joined the Army?
95.
1995. Okay. And when did you leave the Army?
2002.
Oh, wow. So you did quite a few years.
I did 6.5, somewhere in there.
Yeah. You know?
Well, I only signed up for 4 years, right? But then you make babies and stuff.
Yeah.
And shit happens. And you're like, all right, the Army's going to pay me to be married. And they're going to pay me to stay in a little longer with a bonus? Yeah, they'll sign me up for that.
Right on. Now, how soon were you out before all the stuff started in the 2000s?
I remember, you're talking about 9-11, right?
9-11, Afghanistan, and then Iraq.
I was already out processing of the military in September of 2001. Mm-hmm. I was on my way out the door because I'd had an asthma attack in Korea.
Oh.
And they were like, oh, you can't stay in the Army, you have an asthma, so we're going to process you out. So I was in, even if I wanted to have been involved in any of that, I wouldn't have been allowed to because of my medical condition. So I was already, the paperwork was already being done to file me out of the military for having asthma.
Now, where were you in Korea? What city?
I was right on the DMZ. We could hear it was an all male post, and we could see the fence that separated North and South Korea. And when we went to sleep at night, we could hear the propaganda through the loudspeakers that North Korea plays to. I don't speak, you know, the language, but all night long,
right,
all night long, all day. So
wow.
I was sitting
in not going to convince anyone to leave South Korea. Wow, what a paradise!
Yeah, well, the DMZ, which is the demilitarized zone, is there's a huge chain link fence on the South Korea side and a huge chain link fence on the North Korea side with about 100, like a football field distance in between, and that goes all the way through the country. So you would have to scale the fence or somehow navigate the fence and then run through that area, which is it's told as landmines and all mm-hmm. kinds of stuff in there, and then break through to the other side.
Now, that was Kim Jong-il's era, right?
Yes.
All right. So when back there, back then, did you think two things? One, 22 years from now, Donald Trump is going to be the president. And Kim Jong-il's son is going to meet with an American president in Singapore. I mean, it must blow your mind having lived there and served in the army.
Well,
technically at war still with North Korea.
Yes. Man, I was too young, stupid, and carefree to give a shit about any of that.
You were down in Itaewon, right?
No, I was up
for the ladies?
No, that's it. Yongsong.
Yongsong, that's right.
That's where all the hook. And dude, those Russian hookers,
they smell
terrible.
Oh, yeah, okay. What do
they
smell
look
like?
Good.
Kimchi?
No. They smell like armpit. They smell like armpit. All the Russian prostitutes smell like armpit.
Right.
And all the good looking ones, the hookers that you want to talk to,
right.
They're Filipino.
Okay.
And they're dudes.
I don't know firsthand, but I'm telling you, the Philippines must be the place to visit because every one of those women is drop dead gorgeous and not over 5'5".
I had a friend who went to the Philippines and spent a month there, basically just hanging out with the local ladies. I guess you just peel off $5-$10. Now that's horrible. I would never do that.
$10 for a drink, and you get 10 minutes of conversation.
Right.
The way it works.
Oh, hello, G. How you be?
Yeah, and they say you buy me drink.
Yeah,
and you're like, all right, how much is a drink? Because the beer's $2. I'm like, hey, I'll buy you a beer. No, you have to buy me this special $10 drink, and it's grape juice.
Oh, yeah. So well, they don't want to get drunk.
A $10 shot of grape juice, and then you can have their company mm-hmm. for 10 to 15 minutes, and then when the ajima. Or the pimp that runs the bar.
Not the mama-san?
Well, mama-san, but they, ajima.
Ajima.
I think that was the name, yeah.
Yeah.
But when they get the sign, it's either you buy me another drink or you go ahead and pay to take me upstairs because they all live above the whorehouse.
Live. In quotes.
Yes. Well, their IDs. They don't have any IDs.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have anything. So they just live, come down, live,
right.
And come down.
Well, I guess that sort of thing, if there's a military base nearby, there's always going to be the need for that because men, I mean, it's unspoken.
Well, there's a demand.
Certainly there's a demand. But I'm saying that, you know, they might turn a blind eye to something like that because you don't want a bunch of guys pent up not, you know, having a release, especially guys who are in the prime of their sexual lives, 18, 25.
Yeah, I think I was 21, 22 when
right.
I went over there.
Right.
Oh, I was just, dude, we were not.
Hooker Hill, right? That's what it's called?
I don't believe the one.
See,
I'm
going.
Yes, Hooker Hill. That was the whole strip where you could buy chicken on a stick.
Yeah, and you go down the one alley, and they'll come after you because they don't want you to see what they're eating down that alley. We won't even go into it. But we have a friend that lives over there. He's an English as a second language teacher. He worked for a while at a school where it's complete immersion. It's like Disneyland, but everything is in English. And then he worked one-on-one with military people. So he learned an awful lot of interesting stuff talking to these, you know, Korean military guys, South Korean. And he would, you know, when they on their weeks off or whatever, the breaks, they would go camping. And one night he told me that they went up there and they were shooting fireworks way up, you know, fireworks, mm-hmm. bottle rockets and things that blow up and everything.
That's
and,
a no good.
No, the next day the military came and said, you cannot do it. Because the North Koreans, you know, they were so close.
Yeah, we had some run-ins with the law because, you know, every now and then we were allowed to spend the night in Seoul as opposed to where we lived in the DMZ.
Right.
Oh, we're losing minds.
Okay.
All we
drink, have fun, party.
There's nothing to do off pay. post or off our little base, and you're only allowed, you know, a couple hours a day to be off the base. Mm-hmm. So the rest of the time you have to be there, even on your off day. All we did was stay hammered. Dude, it was it. And then here it is. They have like a quick trip on the post, right? Or mm-hmm. on the little site.
You mean a quick trip?
Well, no, it's not quick trip, but it's the equivalent of a quick trip.
It's a sheets.
So you could call and make an order and have beer and pizza and cigarettes delivered to your room. So you best believe that there was a lot of money spent.
I think if you're less than a mile from 150,000 men with guns who could pile over you, you deserve to be able to call and order beer, women, and cigarettes.
Oh yes, and we did. We took full advantage.
Well, we'll get to why you're here. But I'm just absolutely fascinated by this because this whole era of growing up, especially mostly before the 90s, you really didn't hear an awful lot about the North and South Korea.
Yeah.
It was more in your memory of, oh, there was a war, and then Vietnam came, and that dominated everything. But when Clinton was president, that's when they started having all the negotiations and the nukes and all this stuff, and then all through, you know, in the movies. Of course, the guys from South Park did, what, Team America with Hans Briggs?
Yeah,
Hans Briggs! And then, of course, I loved it, the James Franco, Seth Rogen movie, The Interview.
Oh, The Interview.
And a lot of people hated it, but I thought it was funny as shit.
That was hilarious, dude.
Don't forget about Colonel Potter.
Oh, yeah. Well, MASH. I guess MASH. But MASH was always an allegory for Vietnam. So, Caleb, where did you serve?
Oh, well, you see, I don't think I can follow that up. I'm not that interesting, actually.
Sure you are. And you host. Bad. Now, Brian, let's say who Brian is, of course. Brian, you are a comic book artist and an artist. You are working on publishing your own right now, and you have designed artwork for some famous people.
I have. Now, this is a podcast, so you can't see that I'm using air quotes. But when I say comic book artist, I currently draw comic books, but I have yet to officially garner a paycheck from a company that is notable. You know, that's the ultimate goal. Right now, I guess you could call it more of I'm trying to break in.
Mm-hmm.
But being over 40 years old, I mean, come on, dude. I might as well try to be a rap star.
Well, now the shirt you're wearing, did you design that art?
I did. This is one of my more – this has gotten me more attention on social media.
It's Deadpool with his hands around
Harley Quinn's
tits. So first of all,
very Rolling Stone. This is the Rolling Stone Janet Jackson cover.
Yeah, but you are mixing universes.
Well,
but
I figured if anybody can jump universes, Deadpool.
For Deadpool. Sure.
If you listen to this podcast, you know Deadpool is officially DC now because I made that mistake early on in the podcast.
Oh, yes.
Nerd card revoked.
Yes. That shirt, man, that is amazing. I'd love to have that shirt, but my wife would never let me wear it anywhere.
Yeah, I've got like five different versions. My wife doesn't mind because, I was telling you earlier off air, is I sell T-shirts online through third-party sites.
And where can people find that?
Well, if you just go to silverbax.com, which is my website, there's links to all those stores and all the projects that I've going on, but they will take you right to where I have over 400 T-shirts to look at.
Wow. Nice.
So, yeah, so I haven't quite broken into the comic books. That's the goal. So until I can break into them officially, I am going to work on my own project.
You can self-publish, right?
You can self-publish, but that requires some capital up front. And I'm not exactly liquid right now.
Your artwork is amazing. I've been doodling my whole life and drawing and doing this and that, and I tried to be a political cartoonist when I was in college, and I tried it when I was in grad school. I never really was able to do a lot of, like, I can't do perspective, and I don't work at it enough, and I never did.
I don't either.
But you have natural talent, obviously. You have perspective and proportions.
I'll do the Rob Liefeld, or the Rob Liefeld, the creative Deadpool. Just put a bunch of crosshatches in the background and try to disguise everything up with action lines and smoke over the feet.
His problem was he always made the head so weird looking.
Well, everybody had the same exact baked-in expression on their face.
Yeah, didn't he create Cable?
Yes, he did.
Okay, and they started all start at Image and then go around?
Correct.
Okay.
And he is still riding that. It's like $60 to get his autograph on a comic book at shows.
Really?
Yes.
You'd think it'd be a little bit cheaper than that.
Oh, you'd be surprised at some of the stories I can tell you about who's charging for what, man. It's crazy.
We'll get to that in a second. I want to know about that.
I think Neil Adams is charging that much.
Here is
Year Zero.
That Year Zero is the title that I'm doing. So this right here is for you to keep. I'll sign it, everything, if you like
it. Oh, please do.
It's do you remember the old school Marvel Universe handbook where you could say,
yeah,
his real name's Tony Stark, he's 6'4".
Yeah, I bought all those because I was obsessed with
that. That's what this is for my comic book series. It's an introduction to the characters that will be occupying the comic that I am currently working on.
All pictures of all this stuff will be posted on Facebook and Twitter,
Dude, I got you one of these, too.
Oh, that is awesome.
These are two characters that living in the universe.
Oh, wow. You guys can't see this, and it sucks. I wish we, no, that picture doesn't suck. It sucks that you can't see it, because this is really fucking cool stuff. I mean, my God, how do you do the coloring?
I watched a lot of tutorials.
Right.
It's all digital, right?
So yeah.
I work
now, the drawing is digital?
I work in a hybrid method.
Okay.
I can draw by hand.
Right.
But if my stuff's, like if I made a forearm too long or the eyes are a little lopsided, I take it into the digital world and I have a computer that I can draw right on the surface of the computer.
Oh, wow.
And I can make the necessary corrections and do certain things in the digital world to the line work.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to coloring, there's all kinds of shit that you can do that you can't do with crayons.
When I had an iPad, and I did have one before I sold it to buy, you know, weed or whatever, I was doing a lot of artwork on it, you know, and I found...
Mm-hmm. Procreate.
That's exactly...
That, dude, there's layer so after layer much
after
stuff.
Layer, and you have to pay, but it's worth every dime. Layer after layer after layer after layer. And I was practicing and getting into it, and then, of course, I, you know, stopped. And what are you going to do? I'm looking for a pen.
Jerk.
Jeff, take over for a second.
Oh, well, we don't have to sign it right now, man, unless you're just trying to draw me a picture.
No, go ahead. Jeff, go ahead.
You were going to mention who some of the people you designed shirts for.
Oh, yeah. So... Through,
we're also going to talk to Caleb here.
I'm sorry.
Eventually, we'll get to Caleb.
I'm sorry. The biggest one of note is going to be I officially designed Danny Trejo's one of Danny Trejo's licensed shirts that he sells on his website.
Thanks, but
that was through a contest.
Like,
really? They had
here. You can have one of my drawings.
thank you, Mr. Bill Clinton with sad face.
Yeah, wearing a Braves
hat. And the penis nose. I like that.
Yeah, there you go.
So,
if you don't want it, you can leave it there.
No. I'll take it with me. No problem.
Color it. No, okay, go ahead.
I'll scan it in. I'll touch it up digitally, and then I'll color. Make it really pop.
And then we'll make a shirt out of it, and we'll split the fucking money. Brilliant.
So I'm always looking to try to somehow be seen, right?
Right.
I think that I have a little bit of talent that's gone unnoticed, not by lack of trying, but just not the right place, the right time yet.
Right.
So I was going to bed. It's 11:30, and I'm scrolling through my phone, and I see this Danny Trejo T-shirt design contest. I was like, all right, cool. And I scroll a little further, you know, design a Danny Trejo art, blah, blah, blah. Must be entered by midnight. And this was the day.
Oh,
I was
really?
Like, oh, shit. So I'm in my skivvies. I'm ready to go to bed. I told the wife, I'm like, all right, babe, I'm going to bed. And then I just hop up out of bed. She's like, what are you doing? I was like, I got 30 minutes.
30
minutes to make this happen. It just so happens that I had done a Danny Trejo-inspired machete shirt.
Mm-hmm.
So I run downstairs, and I take off the word machete, and I take off the blood, and I kind of recenter it. And then I put just Trejo. And then one of the key things to the design contest was you had to use their logo, the D with the knife going through it.
Okay.
So I was like, all right, how do I do this? How do I do it? Bam, sent it in, and I didn't hear shit for like 5 months.
5 months?
5 months. So I was like, all right, well, whatever. You know,
it took us a lot of time.
And then I get an email. Hey, dude, we liked your stuff. Blah. I was like, oh, shit, this is cool. And, you know, then 3 more months go by. They're like, we'll send you a shirt in the mail. What size do you wear? Send me the fat boy. It's not a size, apparently. So they sent me the shirt in the mail. And then I look on Twitter, and Danny Trejo tagged me in a Facebook post. Hey, Brian Silverbacks, great shirt, man. It's cool.
I was
like, oh, yes, sir. That's cool. So that, as far as T-shirts go, that's the biggest one. But I've done officials for Stone Cold Steve Austin.
What?
Yeah, that's exactly the shirt.
What?
I wrote what at the bottom and had what? His face. And then I did a hey yo. I did a Razor Ramon shirt.
The bad guy.
I've done two of those.
The bad guy.
And then I did a China when she passed away. My shirt was the official China memorial shirt that they wore to the memorial service and stuff like that. So,
WWE sanctioned?
No, it was she had already been banned from WWE because of the porn stuff.
Oh, all right.
So WWE was hands off of this.
X-Pac was banned, right? Because he's in
he's
it.
Back now, though. They he's in their good graces.
Oh, okay.
I guess he's cleaned up, man. That guy looks like shit.
Yeah. Isn't he the Macho Man's brother?
No. The genius was Macho Man's brother.
That's right. Oh, yeah. Leaping Lanny Poffo, yeah. The poet laureate of the WWF.
Yes, that is Macho. The Macho Man.
Yeah. I miss him. I liked him a lot. He was a nice dude.
Yeah, so.
One time I met him, he gave us all boxes of Slim Jims. Yeah.
Yeah. No way.
Yeah, and, you know, you'd eat them every day and then. Greasy, disgusting shit. But go ahead, man. I give you.
No. That's it. I want to talk to Caleb.
Okay. All right, Caleb Harden is his last name. He is one of the co-hosts of a podcast called "Cause We're Nerds," and according to my notes, it says the goal is to provide a podcast centered on all manner of nerd culture, including comics, movies, video games, board games, anime, and more. And your lifelong buddy and cousin Zach is his last name also Harden?
No. Gosha.
Gosha, okay. They do the show together, and the topics include recent ones, and are notable, Road to Avengers, Infinity War, Solo, a Star Wars story discussion, and E3 coverage.
That was just like last week, right?
Yep. Yeah.
What was E3?
That's the entertainment.
Expo. It's the video game thing that they do every year.
Was it here?
No. California, maybe?
Okay.
It's big. Yeah, this is where everybody drops their announcements of what's to come for their brand or their
See,
stuff.
I don't know anything about video games anymore.
Oh, really?
I used to,
yeah.
But in the last 5 years or so, or maybe less, I haven't really played. Because, go ahead.
Still blowing into cartridges over here.
Hey, that's okay.
Get a little closer to the microphone.
Oh.
You can.
Yep. Yeah. How about that? That sound
perfect.
Good now?
Thank you. Yes, and I'm not cutting that out.
A little deep throat action.
I mean, I have a friend, you know, Sean and Lisa, they're friends of the show. And you go over to Sean's house, and sometimes he's watching Twitch. And at first, I was thinking, who sits and watches video games?
Everybody.
A lot of people.
It is so entertaining, especially the interaction between the people watching and the guy playing. But these games, man, they look so friggin' hard. And that's one aspect. So we don't dive into that a lot on this show, if ever, because none of us really play.
When there was just one joystick and one red button, I was the king, man.
Yeah.
Did you guys hear about the Southern Fried Gaming Expo?
No.
You never heard of that?
No.
So it's a convention they have down here in Atlanta once a year, and it's mostly like retro stuff. Like it's all pinball machines and like arcade cabinets. It's really awesome.
Where do they do that?
It is at the Georgia World Congress Center.
Wow.
That area.
When I was younger, I was always saying to myself, someday I'm going to be rich and I'm going to be like Silver Spoons and I'm going to have a Pac-Man and Zaxxon and Gyrus. I like Gyrus. That was my favorite.
There's really cool retro machines you can get. Just play a bunch of games and it looks like a Pac-Man machine, but it plays like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got emulators like, they stick in there now.
They put a tiny computer in it.
Right.
Yeah, so let's just pick your game, and as long as it only requires 3 buttons and a joystick, they'll just load it all up there. So the cabinet looks legit, but the hardware... A lot of things in the gaming world is the authenticity of the motherboard. Like, if your motherboard's serial number doesn't match up to the original blah, blah. And so they're hardcore into getting like the original cabinet and the original graphics, not recreating stuff. So that's them. That's the people with deep pockets.
Sit and play that Centipede game where you sat down and.
Oh,
it was the ball, man.
Yep.
Every time you get your ass kicked.
I played just a couple weeks ago at the Southern Fried thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Nice.
Also, we've already missed it this year.
Yeah, I missed it this year. Yeah, it was like 2 weeks ago or something.
But doesn't Joystick down in. Off of Boulevard, or I don't know if it's Boulevard or Memorial, Joystick Game Bar.
Yeah,
they have a bunch of those games too.
Yeah, I think so. There's a couple places around. They're making a comeback.
Oh, that's pretty cool. Yeah. The last time I played video games was, where was it? It was at Dave and Buster's or one of those places. And I suck. Absolutely suck. So tell us, Caleb, more about your podcast. When did you start it? What inspired you?
Sure. Yeah. So we started it actually in January. So we've been running
it this year.
January.
Okay.
Yeah, this year. So fairly new. We release every Friday. So we haven't missed a week.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to, hopefully. But I've been listening to podcasts for a long time, you know, lifelong nerd. And I felt that all the podcasts kind of stuck to one thing, like maybe this one's for comic books and maybe this one's for video games or whatever. And I feel like that's not really, you know, what people are. People are into multiple things. So I wanted to create a podcast that talked about a wide variety of things. for all kinds of people, and that's kind of what we've done.
Yeah, how's the response been?
Decent. Yeah. We started with the Road to Infinity War, big movie. We covered each movie, one per episode.
Okay.
In very excruciating detail, and the response to that was really good. So we're excited about that.
Do you podcast audio only, or do you put it up on YouTube?
It's audio only, but it is on YouTube as well.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a website, CuzWe'reNerds.com.
Mm-hmm.
And
C-U-Z.
Yeah, C-U-Z, because the co-host is
Because your cousin.
Yep.
That's great. What a good name.
Thanks. And you can find all the places to listen on there. But yeah, we like it. We think it's pretty good.
Have you been able, are you covering events? Have you been able to use that as a press to get into things like cons? Dragon Con, things
not,
like that.
Not quite yet. I guess the biggest thing like that I've done is I did host a panel at a fairly small convention at Kennesaw State University.
Cool.
They're starting their conventions, and so
did you go there?
Yes, I did go there. Yeah,
go Owls.
I can help. I have a buddy that does a podcast as well for comic books, but he's been slacking off. All you have to do is apply to these large conventions, and they will approve you based on the number of subscribers to whatever your – if you can prove that my Twitter account has 7,000 followers, they'll give you a press pass.
Or really?
Each convention, based on the level of how big the convention is, will give away free passes as a press pass.
Yeah, the only one we've ever had trouble with is Atlanta Comic Con.
Atlanta Comic Con turned us down.
This one coming up?
Yeah,
they always
This is the biggest piece. Oh, shit. It's a money grab is all it is.
I know. Yeah. Go ahead.
Because it's not even a yearly thing. Right. It's just we're going to pick a couple of cities, sign a bunch of celebrities, overcharge door prices, and that's what's supposed to draw. So Dragon Con is every year. It's the same weekend. It's people. It's the same place.
It's a cultural event.
This is just fly-by-night.
They do it at the convention center, too, right?
Dragon Con's four different hotels.
Right. No.
No, the Atlanta Comic Con's at World Conference.
When you go to that, it always looks empty because there's not as many people there.
Well, MomoCon was huge.
I didn't realize that the Atlanta Comic Con had been going on. I was thinking that was new for this year.
There's two. There are two Atlanta Comic Cons. Yeah. One's very small. One's a one-day show done four times a year.
Yes.
And that's run by Wes Tilder, Tildman, I think.
That's pretty much strictly comic books, right?
Comic books and G.I. Joes.
Yeah, okay.
It's an action figure, toys, action figures, yes. And comic book. But that's four times a year on a Sunday.
Right.
He does that show. But it's called the ACC. It's Atlanta Comic Con. And then this one, this big monster comes in, Atlanta Comic Con, and now everybody thinks it's him. And then they're asking, oh, dude, your show got so big. It's not the same show.
Okay. Well, that's confusing.
It's not an annual show.
But it's not. This one's not run by Wizard World or
anything.
No.
Or Fanboy Expo.
Wizard tried to come in a couple times and failed.
Yeah.
I mean, huge con. Dragon Con every year, encapsulating everything in nerd culture, whatever. I mean, there are no nerds anymore. Everybody's into it.
Right.
You know?
I have a theory behind why that is.
Why?
Because when we were in high school and we were called nerds, I'm guessing that you two are closer to my age than probably Mr. Caleb.
Maybe
here.
Maybe a little bit.
How old are you, Caleb?
I'm 24.
Cool.
Yeah.
I wish I was
24. We're in a different ballgame. So when we were collecting comic books in high school, we were called nerds. Well, now we're 40-something years old, and we got money to spend.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So we're buying up all the cool shit. And we're also – our age group is also the people making decisions in movies and companies and stuff like that. So that's why the resurgence is because that nostalgia was there for whoever these guys are with money,
right,
same age. Now it's cool to be a nerd. So it's not really a nerd anymore, but that's my little unagi.
You have our generation and the generation previous to us kind of in between, like halfway between, I guess, our parents' age and our own age. That's the Star Wars generation.
Yes.
That's the Star Trek generation. That's the Doctor Who generation.
Oh, my dad's all into that stuff.
And all that stuff is still around.
Yes.
Now, Star Trek has become something that, Discovery. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Star Trek.
Discovery, I think, breathed new life into it. I thought most of those films, I liked the first one. I thought the new films,
The Chris Pine ones?
Yes, I don't like the way they destroyed the canon because that was one thing I always liked about Star Trek.
They veered off.
Yeah.
They tried to make people happy. I thought that was an excellent way to
good,
recast.
Anyway, but we can agree to disagree. But I do like the way they've done Discovery. At first, I thought, oh, this is just whatever, whatever. But I've watched it, and it's entertaining. And
that's the one with the lady from The Walking Dead, right? She's like the captain or something. Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge. I'm so far removed from Star Trek, but I do hear a lot of buzz about the new show. And since she left The Walking Dead, and how
what's her name? Sonequa Martin Green.
Yes.
Yeah. She's a great actress. I love how she went out on Walking Dead too with in
working
the box.
On Negan.
Yeah. Well, ain't that something?
You know, I think they're replacing the showrunners for Discovery.
Are they?
Did you guys hear about that?
No, I didn't know.
I think like it went way over budget and they had some issues.
That's why it was so cool.
Well, here's why. It's on an app. You know what I mean?
No, it's on a pay service. You can
or pay app. Yeah, put it on Showtime. They own Showtime.
Put it on Netflix
or Netflix. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, no, because they want people to buy the CBS app so you can watch reruns of How I Met Your Mother without commercials. that's you know, things change. I even liked Enterprise. I'm more into Star Trek as a universe and as far as entertainment than Star Wars. Star Wars to me is the first three movies.
Mm-hmm.
Unadulterated with whatever, with all the bells and whistles and the fake monsters and stuff. I mean, they're all fake monsters, but you know what I mean. That is my Star Wars. I like the prequels to a degree.
It's something new.
It's something new.
It adds to what I already like. I like the first three movies. I don't have to like the entire prequel, but I like the fact that they're kind of explaining and dropping in little nuggets that you can appreciate.
And anything with a lot of the Emperor, I like, which is why I like the third one so much.
Yeah.
But the who's calling? The newer ones, I don't know. It was weird to see Han Solo and Princess Leia as old people. I don't hate them.
Caleb, what'd you guys think of Solo?
Well, I'm getting there.
I haven't gotten to your episode yet.
But the Last Jedi, I didn't like. I liked Rogue One because it was a new story. I liked Solo. What did you think of Solo?
I liked Solo a lot, actually.
Me
Zach,
too.
The co-host, he didn't really care for it.
No?
Yeah, no. He thought it was kind of like just, I don't know. To me, like, I guess I went in with really low expectations considering everything that had happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I finally got there and it was coherent and it felt like Star Wars, like Rogue One felt like Star Wars.
Right, but they were fun.
Yeah.
They were fun.
It was good.
They were single stories. There wasn't like, oh, now you got to wait. And I didn't like The Last Jedi because I didn't like the way it was written. I thought Luke was a douche.
Yeah.
And
you didn't like Last Jedi
for no
because
reason.
You wrote a different Star Wars movie in your head, and when it didn't, when it totally took your expectations and threw them over their shoulder like Luke's lightsaber, you were pissed.
What did you guys think of Last Jedi?
I didn't like it.
I liked it.
I thought it was a fun little movie.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't hate it. It was watchable.
Right.
Okay, but Princess Leia going into space and then floating back in.
I had a huge discussion.
Sorry.
Go ahead. We go everywhere. There's no linear.
We start the movie. Let me start off. I'm not a huge Star Wars, like I don't know all the history and anthology and all this. I kind
of
just
nobody
watch the
knows
movies.
All of it.
Well, I'd hate to be that one guy that read all the fucking books and comic books.
Because, I know they're out there. I know they're out there, and then they could shoot holes in whatever I'm about to say. But the beginning of this movie starts, and we see bombers in space.
Yes.
Without gravity, how the fuck do you do that?
Right, they'd float away.
Yes, and then so she's sitting there. Oh,
and
man,
the doors
I can't
open.
Drop the bombs, and then I'm gonna kick it. And the little remote control is going to fall in my hand with gravity. Like, so right then I knew the movie was a turd.
You could say the same thing about any of the ships.
No, they got artificial gravity inside of them.
Why couldn't they have artificial gravity in that?
The door's open.
Because the door's open.
And if you drop the bombs, the gravity doesn't continue on the bomb.
I'll give you that. But why can't the gravity be like – on the door area. Why?
The other thing.
Well, maybe that's like a force field, you know.
That's fine. I'll buy that.
They were using the force to control the
bombs. Bullshit.
Princess Leia was taking each one of the bombs. Boom, boom, boom.
All you need
inertia,
to use the force is just to
believe
in
inertia.
It. There isn't any in space.
If you have artificial gravity inside of the ship,
it could build up a little
and it
speed.
Starts falling, once it hits space, it will still have inertia, and so it will still continue moving.
Yeah, but not like they were doing, dude. They were killing those dang ships.
I know. I'm grasping.
So once I saw that, I was like, okay, I'm going to have to turn my brain off to even remotely like what's going on. And then when I saw Princess Leia do the Superman to get back into the ship, mm-hmm. I was like, what in the fuck is this, man? Now, all I could think of was Star-Lord.
That's what you got to do, though. If you shut your brain off and just enjoy it because it's a new Star Wars movie and it's not being done by George Lucas,
right.
It's totally enjoyable.
Well, you heard what Lucas was going to do with The Force, right?
Oh, yes.
You guys read that? What,
yeah.
This treatment for the three films?
No.
What were they called? Weevils or something?
The Wills.
The Wills, yes. Yeah.
The Force of Will. I've heard that title before.
Yeah, because the original screenplay was Journey of the Wills.
Yeah. Oh.
But he was going to go like microscopic or something
with
it. Yeah, like the midichlorian
stuff? That's what it sounded like.
And then he was a douche about it. He goes, oh, I'm glad they didn't get married because the fans would have hated it anyway. He has contempt for these people.
Yeah.
I just don't like watching his chin waggle. Like every time he talks that little gobbledygook underneath, I was like,
imagine if he didn't have that beard?
He's got to keep it so you know where the rest of his face stops.
I think his problem with the universe is he could have made those films, those prequel films, different.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, the thing that's the worst thing is Jake Lloyd.
Not
Jar Jar. I'd rather watch Jar Jar for an hour than Jake Lloyd.
Terrible.
I'll do a spin. That's a neat trick. Who says that? No pilot ever says that. But anyway, we're getting, who cares?
So that's one of the topics of Caleb's podcast.
Right,
so Star Wars.
But then again, in the Jedi, Last Jedi.
Yes,
the purple haired Laura Dern character, which is horrible and unnecessary. She uses the hyperdrive as a weapon. Now that's been broken down by other podcasts and stuff. But when you jump to light speed, you don't go in a linear thing super fast. You jump. You go from one point to the next. And while you're going from that point, you see all the stuff going on because they have to do it. But it's like faster than light drive. Like if you've ever watched the newer Battlestar Galactica, how they jump.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happens. But she's, I'm going to drive it right through this thing. That's bullshit. I mean, so it's just dumb stuff.
Maybe she just hit it at 87 miles an hour. Right. So not quite 88 miles an hour, like 87. So we could put a hole in that.
Right. So I
liked The Force Awakened a lot better than I liked The Last Jedi.
Well, The Force Awakens was basically
the
original.
Of new characters.
It was the original.
Yeah.
It mirrors the first one.
Yeah, well, that could be why I liked it.
Right.
But I did like the soft introduction to new characters. Like, hey, maybe you guys will care for these. And then by the time you get to the Last Jedi, you're like, oh, well, you didn't follow up any of that cool shit that you were setting up.
Yeah, BB-8's still cool.
Yeah.
Snoke, who the fuck was that?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Who are your parents? Oh, they're nobody.
Yeah.
Like, God,
dumb.
That shit.
Dumb.
Yeah. And you know, that's an issue with it. And that's a J.J. Abrams thing.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually talked about in interviews. He's like, you know, I'll make a mystery box and I'll put something in it. I don't care what's in it. So long as you have a mystery. That's a terrible way to write a movie.
Right.
That's terrible. Because if you don't know the answer to the mystery, it's just going to be a letdown.
Well, it gives you time to listen to all the podcasters and stuff and pick your favorite.
Right.
What could have been in the box?
That's what they did on Lost. And they had that podcast that they said, oh, we swear they're not dead this whole time. But yeah, they were dead.
Exactly. Dead.
Yeah.
Fuckers.
And they were in purgatory, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stupid.
I didn't watch that, so
stupid.
I didn't have
But I like
monsters.
Finn. I thought Finn was a cool character.
Yes.
I thought Finn was a cool character. I also liked the gay guy. What's his name?
Poe Dameron?
Poe Dameron, yeah.
Yeah, I like
so terrible to
I
call him the gay
were,
guy.
I thought they were all cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like all the new characters.
I don't like Daisy Ridley, though.
Really?
No.
Something about her is strangely attractive.
Yeah.
It might be her big-ass forehead, but something about her is...
She's got a five head.
Yeah.
She uses the Force times two. I don't like that character, though, because she's just such a Mary Sue.
Yes. I've heard that, yeah. I get that.
I'm a man and I'm a fanboy and I'm what's wrong with Star Wars nerd culture. I hear that all the time.
Yeah,
I don't think they shouldn't make them. I just think that, you know, service the fans a little bit more. Don't make Luke a crybaby jerk. I mean, he redeems himself at the end, but to what cost? I mean, I'm a Force ghost and I'm gonna have this
spoiler
battle.
Alert.
Oh, who hasn't seen it?
Yeah, if you haven't seen it at this point, I mean,
I think you're safe once it comes out on DVD and Blu-ray and stuff, man.
But Solo, from start to finish, is fun.
I haven't seen it.
Entertaining. All right, I won't spoil
it. No, anything. No, no. You can spoil it. Like, if it was something I genuinely cared about, I would have been in the theater opening day. But it's for me, it's like a movie that, I'll see it when I see it.
Here's the thing. For me,
Chewbacca's the shit.
I would suggest going and seeing it. There's a lot of people not going and seeing it. It's not doing well. And I think it's because they're not hyped for it. They're not
excited.
Well,
there's excited.
Also there's that Last Jedi fatigue.
There's Star Wars fatigue overall.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's multiple reasons going into it.
Right.
Star Wars fatigue, the Last Jedi reception, the behind-the-scenes stuff, the fact that it is only 4 or 5 months.
I didn't give a shit about Han Solo. Like, I think that's part of the problem is I never thought that his character – oh, gee, I'd like to know more about Han Solo. I don't – tell me about the Kessel Run, and I'm good. I've heard that this movie does not even focus on really the Jabba the Hutt situation. Like, this movie, if they had of just been like how he's in debt and how he's, you know, that underground gambling, you know, dirty deeds kind of world, some mobster style shit.
They kind of set that up.
Yeah,
they set it up. But that's what this movie should have been to get me to give a shit.
I can see what you're saying. And if they did another one, if they did a sequel to this one,
I would probably be in line to go see that.
Yeah. Right. But I'm telling you what, this should kill the Boba Fett movie because, first of all,
you don't need it.
You know where he came from. He's a little kid on the clone planet who sees his dad get his head chopped off.
The only Boba Fett movie that I could see doing is he flew out of the pit. Now what's he doing? Right. Why haven't we seen him?
Right.
That's the movie that should be made.
Let Patton Oswalt write the Boba Fett movie and I'll go see it.
Why Patton Oswalt?
Because he had that whole spiel that he did on when he was on 30 Rock. He had a great cameo where he talks about he's like, what do you call that when you're trying to get, you're talking on the floor of the Congress or whatever to
filibuster?
Yeah, filibuster. He's doing a filibuster and he reads this like
treatment.
Yeah, this whole thing about Star Wars is like, we open at the Sarlacc pit. A gloved hand of Boba Fett reaches out of the sand.
That's the billion-dollar movie that you make. You do an origin story on Boba Fett, no one's going to go see that either.
They know him. They know where he's from. They know how he dies, allegedly.
It was Parks and Recreation. Sorry, not 30 Rock.
The cool thing? Yeah. The cool thing about Solo, I loved at the end the reveal.
Oh,
of
yeah.
Who's really
I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah,
I'm clear. Can I spoil it for the list? Like, I know already.
You already know.
I already know Darth Maul is and apparently he was like in the cartoons and he had spider legs, but in this one he may not have
because
spider legs.
It comes from the extended universe, too, where he was discovered by, his brother? Or someone from
Savage Opress. So he kept himself alive.
Saul Maul.
Yeah. Better call Saul Maul.
Yeah.
They found him and whatever, put him back together so he doesn't die in Phantom Menace, which I thought was cool. I think the Darth Maul character is cool.
Underutilized in the first movie.
Oh, hell yeah.
Way
more interesting.
You make that guy look as cool as he did and you just chop his ass in half?
Right.
Well, I think there were trade negotiations going on.
It's
one of those things like Boba Fett. I mean, they didn't expect the reaction. Because if you just look at him in the movies, he's not very interesting.
No.
It's all the expanded universe stuff and the fans that have built him up.
I need to put him on my ship.
Stop making the bad guys look so damn cool you're going to underserve them.
Right.
Captain Phasma looked cool as shit. Worthless as shit in the movies. Darth Maul looks cool. Cut him in half. Bubba Fett.
Keep it going. I got to go to the bathroom.
Why make the bad guys look so cool if you're not going to use them? Because that's who's selling action figures and toys and stuff like that.
You know
why? The cool looking figures.
Because if they don't, then you get Count Dooku.
The guy with the limp dick, the lightsabers. Like, I never understood why his lightsabers had that little bend in it. If
you really want to know, there are pages and pages you can go read about.
Every lightsaber I've seen in Star Wars has been a straight hilt, like a sword. Mm-hmm. And then you get to this old dude, and he's got these ones with a hook in it. And my immediate thing was like, oh man, I feel like I'm having private time. I get a little hook to the left.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's supposed to have something to do with the wrist movement.
So maybe he's got a little carpal tunnel going on or something. I don't know, but that to me was a little troubling. And it's not just Star Wars that does the bad guy thing. You look at He-Man. Mm-hmm. Look at Skeletor, look at Hordak, look at the evil Horde, look at all those guys. Mm-hmm. And then you look at Man-at-Arms, Ram-Man, He-Man. Like, they're all just regular, just swole dudes, but all the bad guys have skull faces and armor. And so bad guys are always just way cooler looking in anything.
Yeah, all the
G.I.
Joe bad guys are way better than the G.I. Joe.
They all have metallic shiny parts.
Wasn't Cobra Commander also the same voice as Starscream?
Yes. I think he did Skeletor too. I don't know.
Yeah.
I watched the videos when they scroll through Facebook. All the voices you didn't know, and it'll show the guy saying, I mean, oh shit, I had no idea. Like Peter Cullen, the guy that does the voice of Optimus Prime.
Mm-hmm.
I had no idea he did other shit other than Optimus Prime.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I'm watching this 6-minute video of all these cartoons. I'm like, oh man.
Let's roll. Now he did the voice in the movies too, right?
Yes.
Good.
Yes.
Yeah, I think he's the only one
probably
that returned.
Well, a lot of those guys are probably gone.
I think it was only three dudes that did all the voices anyway. But.
You know what? I have a confession to make, and I don't care if anybody likes it or not. I enjoy the Transformers movies. I know they're terrible.
I have fun. Okay.
Long, noisy, but they're fun.
Yes, and that's exactly what they are.
I loved Transformers when I was a kid.
I don't have a distinct, like, I'm not a big Transformer guy. You know, back to the people that are all Star Wars, they know the lore. There are people like that for Transformers.
And until they became dinosaurs, it was fucking stupid, but go ahead.
In the cartoons, though, the Dinobots were awesome.
But they had the same names. I was driving
Grimlock. Slag.
Slag.
And I forgot the bird-looking one. The pterodactyl. But
the movies are okay, though.
Yeah. They're fun to watch.
Yeah.
They may not be Transformers movies, but they're fun, sci-fi, kind of action-y.
Right.
They're Michael Bay.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting.
Right. Shia LaBeouf.
Everybody wants Mark to Wahlberg. Shit on, Michael Bay bastardized the Transformers. You know what? Somebody signed off on that bullshit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He didn't just come up there and say, I'm going to make this.
It's not like nobody's watching them because they made fucking seven of them or something.
Yeah. Hasbro says, at least they didn't make GoBots movies.
No, not yet.
Have you guys seen the trailer for Bumblebee?
No.
I have.
The Bumblebee spinoff movie?
I didn't see that.
John Cena.
Really?
John Cena.
You can't see me.
Well, you can see me. Obviously, he looks like the bad guy. Like he's a military guy tracking down this girl and her bumblebee. Dude, Bumblebee is a Beetle.
Yep.
He's a Volkswagen Beetle, and when he transforms, it's almost like they took the old little bitty Beetle, and the way you transform that the action figure is kind of the way that he motions his transformation in the show.
Yeah.
And you know, they got the hood right here in the middle and the shoulder.
He's the one that does all the sounds, right? All the different.
His voice box is broken.
Yeah,
which I think is a problem.
I think it's cool because they use movie lines and stuff. You can hear lines from The Big Lebowski in the first one.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if you're going to center a whole movie around him.
Yeah, that's true.
And he can't talk,
really. This could be a prequel, so his voice box might not be damaged yet.
No, well, it's in the trailer, but it is a prequel set in the 80s.
Okay, even cooler.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I think the new Bumblebee movie has me a little chubby.
I'll see that. A little Bumblebee chubby.
Yeah.
Oh, so let's talk a little bit about, I'm going to go back through this list. Jeff, do you have anything you want to ask or talk about?
Well, Caleb, how many episodes have you guys done so far?
Ooh, I think we recorded 27 this past Monday, and it'll be out Friday.
27 in one day? Damn, dude.
Number 27.
And like the first batch that you did was all the Marvel movies leading up. Mm-hmm. Infinity War.
MCU movies broken down?
Yep. So basically the way we did that was we...
Even the shitty ones.
You start with Iron Man, right?
Yep. We went in chronological order, release order. Start with Iron Man, go all the way through all of them. And basically what we did is we watched it and we'd go through the movie and we'd talk about, you know, what we thought about it. But more importantly, point out Easter eggs, behind the scenes facts that people might not know about. Kind of interesting things like that. Those episodes are kind of long. They're like... between an hour and 2 hours, usually around an hour and a half. So if you're not super into it, they might not be a good listen.
Don't say that.
Yeah, man.
I mean, look, I'm going to be honest with everybody. I'm not going to be like, you don't like Marvel? Well, this will make you like Marvel. That's
you
not
could
it.
Do one on the greatness of the Super Friends movie. I know that's not what it was called.
The Justice League.
Justice League.
5 minutes. It sucked.
That's so much potential.
Right.
It's just like the Suicide Squad. I loved seeing the characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The movie was a turd
wrapped
inside of a diarrhea bag.
You know the best part of that movie is the intro where they're showing all the backstories of the characters.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like the first 30 minutes.
And so Justice League, the same way that the characters are cool, they just didn't put them in the right movie. Like the story that they're telling within the movie was not what needed to be done.
But then again, people hated Batman versus Superman. And I liked it. I loved it.
I love Man of Steel. I thought Man of Steel was a great new way to...
Yep.
Everybody wants to shit on Snyder.
No, those movies are good.
They hired him. I may not be a fan of what Sucker Punch has to do, but man, that was fun to look at.
Right.
Watchmen was fun to look at.
Well.
So I knew what I was getting when I saw Man of Steel, and I wasn't expecting, you know, Christopher Reeves and da-da-da-da, saving the cat. Like, this dude... I thoroughly had
infinitely
fun.
Better than Superman Returns.
I'd never watched the Kevin Spacey Lex Luthor.
It was not good. It wasn't fun. It was boring. You didn't like it, did you?
No.
I didn't like the Green Lantern anyway, but we're back to Marvel, MCU. we go all over, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Digressions galore. But so you start with Iron Man. What came out after Iron Man? Iron Man 2?
Iron Man 2 was the next movie.
Then Captain America?
I thought the Incredible Hulk.
Oh, no, sorry. You are right. The Incredible Hulk.
Okay.
The Incredible Hulk, everyone forgets about.
Not the Ang Lee one.
No, no, no.
Which is underrated.
Ed Norton.
The Edward Norton one.
Oh, that's right.
The Ang Lee one's underrated because of those damn dogs. Yeah. Big Hulk dogs. What a cornball piece of shit that was.
But the Abomination.
Yes, the Abomination. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I dug
who may be making a comeback in the MCU.
He should.
They've never.
He's not dead.
Yeah, we need another standalone Hulk movie. I would like to see World War Hulk.
Well, there's a reason.
Yeah, the issue is the distribution rights are held by Universal.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
that's the same kind of Fantastic Four deal, right? Where they keep making those fucking.
Well, Disney's going to own Fox soon. Right. They don't own Universal.
It keeps going back and forth.
What's that?
Comcast is making all cash offer.
Right.
To buy the Fox.
Well, Disney just upped it.
Yeah, today. But it's still half cash, half stock options. So really, it's Fox saying, "Hey, thanks Comcast for showing interest, because now I can get more shit from the mouse."
Right. Right. Yeah. The only reason I would I don't care about that. Not being pissy about it is because then they can bring the X-Men into the MCU. So
yeah. I'm looking forward to the day that I'd finally get to see that. Like
I loved how Deadpool 2 handled that.
Yeah. Yeah.
When they're at the mansion and they see him and they close the door.
Yeah.
That was great. What was y'all's favorite of the movies leading up to Infinity War? Did you have a favorite?
Oh yeah, we ranked all of them each week.
Right.
Oh goodness! Before Infinity War, I think mine was Captain America: Winter Soldier.
Right,
that's good.
And I think Zach's was Captain America: Civil War.
Oh, dude,
nice.
Yeah, I got to go with Ultron.
Really? Age of Ultron. I think you're the only person alive that would pick that movie.
Oh my God, I loved Ultron when I was a kid, and he was one of my favorite villains in the entire universe. Mm-hmm. I when I started reading comic books. As a teenager, a young teen, not as a kid when I read Batman and Superman, yeah. Mm-hmm. I was into Iron Man and the Avengers and Spider-Man and the X-Men. And then I became pretty much primarily Marvel. And Jeff was primarily DC with Green Lantern and Booster Gold, stuff like that.
Well, that's why I thought Deadpool was DC, because it's so dark in his origin story and everything.
Yeah, you're right. You would think that it might have been a Vertigo character.
Well,
he is
a ripoff of Deathstroke.
Right. Yeah. But
not if you ask Rob Liefeld.
But the characters to me, I was very invested in Iron Man from issue 120, probably 123, and this is going back to the early 80s, all the way up till I went through the Obadiah Stane saga when Tony Stark stopped being Iron Man because he couldn't stop drinking, and then Rhodey becomes Iron Man. He doesn't know how to fly the suit, and this is back when Bethany Cabe was Iron Man, Tony Stark's girlfriend. So, this is going way, not Pepper Potts. I mean,
right.
This is years ago. And through that whole thing, Stane takes over, and then he becomes Iron Monger, and then there's that silver and red, the rebirth Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
And throughout that time, then the Avengers, they're bringing in, Spider-Man tries out for the Avengers, and they tell him he can't be in it.
Yep.
So that whole thing, and I think that these movies are such a nod to that. And what I want to see happen, Jeff just brought him up, I want to see Dr. Doom done right. I want to see the Fantastic Four done right. I don't want to see
Silver Surfer.
Yeah.
Galactus other than a cloud.
Yeah, fuck that. I want Galactus. Yep.
It's funny you bring that up. I don't know if you guys are into this. Incredibles?
I have not seen it.
I haven't seen the second one yet, but the first one's great.
Okay, so you guys are into it. So, that's the best Fantastic Four movie that's ever been made, right?
Yes.
Right. So I saw the second one and I walked out thinking, you know what? They don't have to make another live action Fantastic Four movie. Don't try it again. You've already messed it up. Do an animated one.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It works so well for The Incredibles.
Right.
And Into the Spider-Verse looks amazing if you guys have seen that.
That has me excited. Yeah. Golly, I had to change my underwear when I watched that trailer.
Yeah.
Do you guys watch Venture Brothers?
No.
I tried. I cannot force myself to like that show. As much as I hear good reviews, I cannot. Can't force past.
It's an investment, of time. But they do you ever watch it?
Mm-mm.
They make fun of, they don't make fun of it, they do tributes. And the Fantastic Four, I forget what they're called, but I don't know why the security guard is out there waving at me.
Oh, he wants his
pass
badge. Yeah, what I do with that.
So they have this, it's like the Fantastic Four, and they went through cosmic rays.
Yeah.
But, the guy on fire, when he catches on fire, he screams in pain. And then the Thing character is retarded. He's dying. And
mentally challenged.
I'm sorry. Mentally challenged. I'm old. I got to realize not to do that. And
we don't want to offend anybody today.
That's true.
Oh, no.
We sure haven't. So he's, okay, slow. And then the invisible, she turns invisible, but you see her muscles and her veins.
Oh, so just like her skin goes invisible.
Yeah, and then Steve Carell used to do the voice of the guy. He's a real prick, really stupid. But the show is all about failure and being a super scientist. And then you see characters from, Johnny Quest is in it, but he's a heroin addict.
It's
a great send-up of all the things, but you really have to get into it and watch it all in one sitting. It's hard if you just tune in and go, okay.
I guess I can see that would be your appreciation for Ultron, because you got to see a lot of what you admired and what you appreciated in the comic books come to life.
And James Spader was great.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm not taking anything away from his performance or the character, like Ultron, the character, but that movie... Dude, Thor Ragnarok to me was
great. That was the next one I was going to ask you about.
That's where it's at right there. Mm-hmm.
I know that guy from work.
That and I don't know if it's just because it's the first time you ever saw it, but that first Avengers movie.
Yeah.
When you got to actually see all those big, you're like, holy shit, this is a real movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like that, the movie may be, the story of the movie may not be what it excites me as just knowing that this is the Avengers. This is a group of superheroes that all have their own movies.
Right.
And now you're seeing them for the first time do some cool shit. Like that feeling puts the Avengers on the list. And then Winter Soldier was excellent. Plus, dude, Black Widow with that straight hair.
Oh, right. God. I think that's her best hair.
Yeah.
But they don't want to bring it back.
Shit's garbage.
Speaking of Black Widow, my wife started watching Ghost in the Shell last night.
Yes.
The live action one?
Yeah, I got bored and went to bed.
It's two different movies glued together. Yeah. Oh, it's weird. So terrible.
Is it based on a video game or is it a comic
book? Anime.
Anime, that's right. And she's Asian in the anime, correct?
Well, it's a robot, so who gives a shit? People were all like, oh, you're casting an American. She's playing a fucking robot, man. Get over it.
It could be anything.
Yeah.
How about Doctor Strange? Do you like that?
The movie?
Yeah.
I wanted more magic.
I never, the character never appealed to me in comic books.
Me neither.
So I liked it because it was different.
Mm-hmm.
But it definitely doesn't break into my top five if I was the great Marvel movies. It was cool to have something different. But I'm not a big Cumberbatchy person. Like I'm not a Sherlock guy who's all like, oh, Cumberbatch's the greatest. So I just watched it just so I won't be ignorant when I watch the rest of the MCU movies. Right. I can at least know what happened.
The only one I haven't seen is... I haven't seen Black Panther yet.
No, you need to see Black Panther, man.
That's hot
waiting for
stuff.
It to come out on...
it's already
It's on on demand now.
No, I don't want to pay for it. So Netflix or HBO or something.
Oh. Wait, you saw Infinity War?
Huh?
You saw Infinity War without seeing Black Panther?
Yeah. Yep.
Was that confusing at all?
No.
Okay.
I read all the spoilers and everything.
Oh, okay.
Well, dude, I tell you what. One of the coolest... the whole Black Panther experience was cool. But, dude, how badass was Claw? In that movie,
they killed him.
My God. Dude, don't.
Spoiler was that Michael alert. B. Jordan's character?
No, Claw was Andy Serkis.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what that is. So.
Well, Age of Ultron, Andy Serkis was the guy with the burn on his neck. He's like.
Mm-hmm. Got the arm cut off.
Yes.
Yeah. So he comes back in Black Panther, and because this is where the vibranium is that he was telling him about in Age of Ultron. So he's. The vibranium's what ties him to this movie.
Okay.
But we get a lot more of Andy Serkis's character. And, dude, he was awesome.
Yeah,
he was awesome.
He should have been nominated for an Academy Award for the Planet of the Apes movie.
Yeah, all the work
that last one. That movie was so beautiful. I'm really into that whole genre. I love all the old ones. I love the TV show.
You like the Marky Mark one?
Just because it's Planet of the Apes, I will watch it. I don't like it. I don't like the ending. I think it's stupid. I don't like unexplained bullshit. Mm-hmm. And I think the ending of that movie is unexplained bullshit. So
yeah, I don't know. But I have Andy Serkis, speaking of him, he's directing the new Jungle Book movie that's coming out later this year.
Live action?
Another live action
Jungle Book movie.
Yeah, but this is going to be called Mowgli.
Right. It looks a lot darker.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not going to be singing songs.
No songs.
And fairy tale. And, you know, hey, let's... Yeah, it's going to have voices, but it's going to be a little dark, a little bit more in your face. And I'm looking forward to seeing his, because, you know, he's going to be able to direct all these people doing mocap,
right.
And he's directing the movie. Like, what's that going to look like?
That is going to be cool. I'll go see that for sure. For sure. So is there anything we haven't covered, you guys? I'm sure we could talk comic books all night long. What about your artwork? You said you're going to put out your own universe, right?
That's the goal. Well, right now, the coolest the closest thing I can get to doing actual comic book stuff is, you remember buying cards as a kid that come with a stick of gum?
Baseball cards.
Baseball cards. But they also had like Marvel cards and X-Men cards. Well, they still make those cards.
Right.
Upper Deck does, Topps does, and all those collector cards. But when we used to buy them, it was always the coolest to get the hologram. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, shit, man, I got the hologram. Well, now they don't really do that anymore. They have what's called sketch cards. And they hire a bunch of artists to draw on the card that's – and then
– they're inserts.
They're inserted. So you get a one-of-a-kind piece of artwork randomly inserted into packs of cards. I am an artist that contributes to those cards. So you may have gone to Walmart and buy a pack of Star Wars cards and had one of my drawings inside of the pack
really?
Of cards.
Really?
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That is
– so it's not – there's a lot of guys that do what I – there's a lot of people because there's guys and girls – that do what I do for the sketch cards, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they will sit at the conventions and they'll sit at the table and tell everybody they draw for Marvel. And I'm saying, no, the fuck you do not. You draw for Upper Deck and you're drawing licensed properties. But in order to get the customer to be like, oh my God, I can't believe you draw for Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to slap them. I'm like, no, you draw the same shit I do. And I don't tell people I work for Marvel.
It's like me saying I work for Adult Swim when I did voices on Squidbillies a couple times.
I love Squidbillies.
I've done it a couple of times. There's Larry Munson from the Georgia Bulldogs.
Yeah. I met Sketch McKetch.
We met Sketch. He's a great guy.
Yeah. He actually drew in. I have a book that I take around to conventions for me, and I'm like, put a version of Deadpool in my book. So I have it filled with all kinds of different artists, just a version of Deadpool. And now I have a Squidbilly Deadpool Squidbilly inside my book that he drew in my book for me.
He drew me as me.
Right.
But
that would just be drawing you.
And then he said, well, you know, I didn't have enough time. I'm like, fine. Fine. It's all fine. We've been talking tonight to Brian Silverbacks, a very talented artist.
With a BAX.
Yes, with a BAX. Silverbacks. You can go to silverbackswithanx.com and check out all of his great artwork. Caleb Hardin. Part of one half of the Cuz We're Nerds podcast, which I believe you could probably find if you go to iTunes or any podcatcher and check it out, with his cousin Zach. And the notable topics, again, Road to the Avengers Infinity War series, which I am going to binge when I am finished with what I'm listening to this week, and also Solo, a Star Wars story discussion, and E3 coverage. Guys, it's been really cool having you on. I hope you'll come back.
Man, all you got to do is let me know when.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
I'd love to.
And if you ever need weirdos to come sit in on your podcast, be happy to come sit in on your podcast.
Sounds great.
But we'll definitely keep you in all of our plugs and everything. But there's tons more to talk about. I'd love to have you back, man.
Yeah, dude.
And I appreciate you bringing us the comic book. Jeff, can I have the comic book?
Yeah.
Do you have the poster?
Okay.
Because my wife doesn't let me put posters on. Plus, this chick has nice tits. And
that's awesome.
Really appreciate it. You guys have any staff picks? We do every week. We bring a staff pick to the show.
Staff pick.
TV show, podcast, music, whatever, movie.
Just something you like that you want to recommend to people that maybe they don't know about.
Right.
Oh, shit. We could do a whole other podcast on shit that I think is cool. Like Tucker and Dale is a great movie.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people don't know about it.
We've talked about that a few times on the show. Me and Steph are both big fans of that movie.
Do you have anything locked and loaded, ready to go?
Not that people don't know. I mean, I watched Atlanta for the first time.
What'd you think? Watched that
it was
show.
Good. Just yeah. I just watched the first episode. I think,
really
like, last
good
night.
Show, right?
It was really good, though. Yeah.
Yeah, you got to binge the whole thing. There's two seasons now you can catch up on. So.
Well, I'm watching it on Hulu. They've only got the first one.
Oh, okay. Well, by the time you finish that first one, maybe they'll put the second one up because the second one just finished.
What's cool about Atlanta now is you watch a lot of new TV and movies. And you can see little pieces. Oh, I know where that is. I know where that is.
Yeah. Right. Like, have you guys talked about that? The Marvel stuff that you can, in the Marvel movies, stuff here in Atlanta that you can see in the movies?
No, we've mentioned it here and there, but nothing's, like, specific.
I noticed specifically when I was watching 11/22/63 on Hulu.
Was that filmed here?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, because there's one scene where I see there's a establishing shot coming in, and you see it's supposed to be 1963, and I see the stacks. So I see the I see the smokestack, and then I look down and I see Littles in the barbershop where I work, Mary Todd. They're changed digitally, but it's the street. It's Carroll Street right there in Cabbage Town, and it's very brief, so I had to go back and pause it.
Right. That's awesome.
Yeah.
If you've got the spare time, man, I can shoot you on some websites. They cast extras for everything going on here in Atlanta.
Right. I was going to mention that, too. Yeah. You were on Walking Dead.
Yeah, but I was on the season finale of Walking Dead this last season.
Season 8, right?
Yeah. But a lot of the guys were in Spider-Man Homecoming.
My brother was actually in Homecoming.
And, you know, they filmed Venom here.
Yeah.
But when you look online and you start applying to these jobs, they're going to – if they're a big Marvel movie, they hide the name. So when Venom was casting, it was called Antidote.
Really?
So if they say, "We're Antidote is filming in Atlanta and we're looking for so-and-so," that was the Venom movie.
Let me ask you this. Will you come back and do a show about – being an extra and working and
I would love to, because I want to blow these. You've been to conventions, right?
Oh, yeah.
You've been to Dragon Con.
Yeah, but several times.
Do you go to these smaller conventions like Podunk, Alabama?
No.
Convention?
We've been to a couple little ones.
Where they'll have like background actor A billed right. as like the hugest celebrity that they've ever seen. I've done the same shit. You know what I mean? And I'm like, oh, look at me. Oh, dude, yeah. We could do that because I have some thoughts.
My old coworker from my 96 Rock Clear Channel days, Aaron, he does all sorts of stuff in this city. He's been in a lot of movies. And I just think it's fascinating that you can actually make some money and enjoy yourself and be billed.
All right. We're going to have to save that for the podcast.
I want you to come back. Well, a couple months, will you come back and we'll talk all about that?
All right. Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Definitely.
Some great food, depending on where you go.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Ozark was terrible.
Marvel
feeds well.
Yeah. Oh, I was in a Channing Tatum movie. That's the best. That's the best I ate, dude.
So, Jeff, we got to do that. So
yeah, let's do that.
And then Steph and those guys will be here so they can ask questions, too. Do you have a singular staff pick or anything you'd like to throw out there?
I've been binging a lot of Rehab. Like, I like the band Rehab.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe a lot of people aren't onto it. You caught me with my pants down. Like, I really don't have anything.
That's cool.
So I really wish more people would appreciate, you know, Rehab music.
What genre?
It's like a rap rock kind of thing.
Okay, fun.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's about getting drunk and doing stuff, but it's a little rappy with a little bit of twang.
Shit, yeah.
Kind of like when the early Kid Rock Devil Without a Cause album, you know, the Nookie album when they did like the Limp Bizkit kind of rock, kind of rappy,
but fun.
Yes.
Yeah, not dark and
gonna kill you.
No, but dude, ICP, I love me some ICP.
You
too.
Do.
Oh, dude,
are
I'm
you
down
a
with the clown. Yeah, I used to call myself a popo juggalo because you don't find too many police officers that are down with the clown.
Are you still a cop?
No, I am not.
You're a retired police officer. I'm sorry.
I'm not retired. I was forced to vacate under some.
Oh.
Yeah, we can talk about that later.
Maybe talk about that off the microphone. All right, Jeff, what's your staff pick this week?
Well, I wanted to mention Joe Galwa, staff pick Detroiters. When he was here a couple weeks ago, he picked that as his staff pick. That starts this week on Comedy Central. Great show.
All right.
And my real pick is Preacher, starts this week also on AMC.
Season 2, right?
Yeah. Season 3, right?
Oh, is it season 3? I only watched the first season.
So
I dug it. I did
so
that
good.
Show.
And the show I saw a preview for on Netflix looks pretty interesting, called Cooking on High.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposed to be billed as the first ever competitive cannabis cooking show.
Cool.
It seems like Chopped with weed.
Okay.
Maybe I shouldn't talk about it in front of the former police officer, but it looked pretty interesting.
I don't have a problem with weed, man. Like, as long do whatever you do, make yourself feel better. Do whatever, but until it's legal, man, you're walking a very thin line of getting your ass in trouble.
Yeah,
that's my feeling.
Like these people in Atlanta who are like, well, they decriminalize it. That doesn't mean they're not going to get arrested.
No, that's a fine now, though.
No, but they still have discretion because it's a state law. So if they arrest you, you're going to jail. If the police officer says I'm going to take you to jail.
But you're allowed to watch whatever you want on TV.
That is true. That is true. Unless it has Kevin Spacey. Or Christopher or Chris Hardwick, because he's canceled. Chris Hardwick.
No more Chris Hardwick.
Yeah. We'll see.
Nerdist.
Yep. Oh, well. We won't talk about that at another time. I don't want to get into it. My staff pick is extremely contentious. It didn't start out that way today. But when I woke up this morning and saw this person trending, I thought, oh, wow, I didn't know that. It must have been a very popular episode of the podcast that he was on. This week's guest on Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal podcast, if either of you haven't listened, have you ever listened to it?
Mm-mm. Such a good podcast.
Old Hollywood comedians, producers, actors, like the bit guys, the character actors that you know that have been everything. Mm-hmm. Great stories. Well, his guest this week was Peter Fonda. And Peter Fonda told these amazing stories about working with Dennis Hopper, about his dad, about hanging out with the Beatles.
About his sister?
Well, yeah, he talked about his sister, but then he talks about the Beatles song, She Said, you guys know that one? She says, I know what it's like to be dead. Well, they're all doing acid at this house. And according to Dennis Hop, or according to Peter Fonda, George Harrison's freaking out, thinking that he's dying. So, Dennis Hopper, or somebody told him to go talk to George Harrison and calm him down. So he goes and calms him, and he says, look, I know what it's like to be dead. I died twice. Because he got hurt or something, and died
legit.
When he was a kid. Yeah. And he kept saying that. And then John Lennon goes, you're making me feel like I've never been born, man, or something like that. Well, anyway.
That's a good impression.
Oh, thank you. I do Living Lennon on the Von Hessler Doctrine. He becomes a conservative right winger and give war a chance. And Yoko, Yahor. And then he said he was driving in L.A. and he turned on the radio and he heard She Said. And he goes, that's me. That's all that shit that happened there. So, I mean, just great stories if you like old Hollywood.
So your pick is to recommend the podcast.
Yes. But okay. And he talks about Easy Rider and how Dennis Hopper went nuts and did a 4-hour cut and how they had to keep cutting it down. And then Hopper sued him because the movie Easy Rider was Peter Fonda's idea.
Yeah.
He came up with the idea, and the way he sold it to the movie industry, he sold it as, well, it's this movie about these two guys going on a quest. He didn't say bikers. He didn't say counterculture. He didn't say pot.
Mm-hmm.
But he knew what kind of movie he wanted to make. But in order to get it made, he had to
You got to say certain things.
Right. And so Hopper, you know, coke-fueled maniac, said, I don't want Peter to get a writing credit.
Oh.
And you can hear all about that. I'm not going to ruin it if you listen to the podcast. But if you don't, he wanted a writing credit, and Dennis Hopper kept suing him. And every time they went to a court or a judge, the summary, the judge just go, this is bullshit, and throw it away. Did it a whole bunch of times. And they didn't stay friends, which is sad because Peter Fonda was sad about that, I guess. But then you go to Twitter this morning, and he starts tweeting about how the somebody ought to kidnap the Baron Trump and put him in a cage with pedophiles.
Oh, no.
And then he says he starts calling Sarah Huckabee Sanders a gash and like.
Oh, my God.
I mean, just really polarizing stuff. And it's like, oh, shit, I got to recommend this. So don't go to his Twitter. Obviously, if you don't agree with him politically, don't go to his Twitter. If you do, go. I don't care either way. But if you want to hear some really good stories, as you always do, Frank Santopadre and Gilbert Gottfried give you a really interesting podcast.
I just listened to the Keith Carradine episode.
That one was amazing.
It was so good. I kind of felt bad for him, though, because they talked to Keith Carradine about his dad so much.
Well, because they
like
that.
Yeah, I know. They like the old Universal Monster movies and stuff, and John Carradine was in that world.
I wanted to hear about Dexter.
I wanted to hear talk about Deadwood and stuff, right. Not talk about his late father.
Well.
I kind of ended up feeling bad for Keith Carradine because they were like, tell us more about your dad.
Yes.
You know, but it's a really good episode to listen to also.
Gilbert says on this episode, I want you to know that I masturbated to your sister. I jerked off to... And you made a movie where you fucked your sister. So, yeah, check it out. And
Steph had somebody she wanted us to mention. Not in staff picks, but she wanted to thank Dan Budd, who's a radio listener to our podcast.
Do you have it?
And he came out to Steph's event at Hollywood Feed, and I guess he made a donation, and they're looking to adopt a dog from Barktown, so she wanted us to give him a shout-out.
This was the big event that Shaq plugged?
Yeah, Shaq's talking about it on Twitter. Barko talking about it.
Shaq's awesome.
We had Shaq's producer on this podcast, and
he and I go way back.
He's friends with Tim, so he came on our podcast, and so... Steph kind of reached out to him to see if Shaq would help out with this.
And he did.
Yeah. Wow. They were supposed to do a story about it on Fox 5, but I couldn't find it anywhere.
Yeah, when did they do it?
When did she say? Wednesday? No, today's Wednesday. It must have been Monday. She texted us and said that they were coming to the shelter.
Yeah.
To interview them about the Shaq tweet. And then so I taped the 10 o'clock Fox 5 news, and it wasn't on there. So then I taped the...
If only you had somebody that you knew who had a wife that worked there.
I texted you, and you said something about she was on vacation this week or something.
Well, she could find out. We'll find out later. Shaq.
Yeah.
So if anybody saw that on Fox 5, let us know where we can find it. if they did the story.
And I'll ask my wife when I get home. Caleb?
Yep.
Brian, thank you guys very much for coming on. I hope you had a good
time. Thanks for
having me, man. You had fun with us.
Oh, we did.
And we'd love to have you back.
Yes, sir.
All right. So,
and what's the name of the podcast again, Caleb? Yeah. Throw it out there.
Cuz We're Nerds, CUZ.
Okay. And where can we find your awesome artwork?
SilverBax.com.
Silver.
You could just look me up on Facebook or whatever, Brian Silverbacks.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to make sure all my social media.
Are you going to Dragon Con?
I do have a table at Dragon
Con.
Nice.
Sweet.
This is year two. This is year two for me because it's not easy to get in Dragon Con as an artist.
No, I imagine
with
it's not.
No credits to your name.
Well, hopefully.
We're trying to arrange to do a podcast down there this year. We did one 2 years ago.
Yeah, you'll have to come by.
I saw that your pictures from one of the Dragon Cons. I wasn't sure what year.
Which one?
I think I was just scrolling through your Facebook page, and I saw you taking pictures of the parade and stuff like that.
We forgot to apply to record a podcast last year in time. So this year we applied in time, so we're waiting to hear if we can do it. Yeah, I forgot to apply.
No, you're the one who makes sure we get stuff done. Right. I'm the lazy one.
But we have been approved to attend Dragon Con.
With a press pass?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah,
awesome.
See? Press pass.
And
we requested
to record a podcast, and I have requested to interview Janet Varney, who is a guest coming to Dragon Con. She's on Stand versus Evil, and you're
the
worst.
I want to interview Stuart Varney from Fox Business News. I don't know.
So we're hoping to make that happen for Dragon Con. But yeah, if you have any free time, you can sneak out of the artist alley there.
I made myself a little. I paid for the 10x10, so I have some room this year to breathe.
Awesome. And you'll come back and talk about the movie.
Man,
business.
I'll do whatever you like me to do, man.
All right, cool. Great meeting you guys. Thanks again for coming in. Until next time. Keep it canine.
Keep it canine.
Keep it canine, yes. Woof.